Has God done anything great in your life lately? Has God done anything good in you, in your life, that he is worthy of the praise and the honor? Praise God. God is good, saints. Praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Saints, you all have a sermon outline and your bulletin to follow along with me today. And what is the title of today's message? What does worship do to us? We are in the third and last part of a sermon series that we've been working through about what does worship got to do with it, saints. And Sandra Lay, Pastor Sandy, kicked us off, saints, and she talked to us about what worship is, right? And then Pastor Rick was here last week preaching about what the purpose of worship is. And today I'm going to talk about what does worship do to us. But before we go forward, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are so awesome and amazing. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do in our lives. What a privilege to be able to worship you today, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we can see you, Lord Jesus. Open our ears that we can hear clearly what you have to say for us. And most of all, open our hearts that we may be receptive to your word. And we thank you and we give you the praise. And it's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all your people said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. I must confess that this morning, when I began this message, it was very difficult for me because when I came up, I was just overwhelmed with joy. So much joy, saints, I just had so much tears because my cup was so full. And then all of my tears came pouring out, and now I am just so excited. My tears have gone, and now I'm ready to run around this place and do a hallelujah dance because God is so good. Let me tell you something, saints. All of us that are parents or grandparents or anybody that has raised some kids in this building, there is one day, a couple days, that you will regret in your child's life. They will drive you insane. And you will be one day wondering, how, Lord, did I get this kid or these kids? And why is my life so hard? Well, saints, I had many of those days. You know, when I got married, I never, ever expected that Terrence and I would end up raising 9 children. In my first few months of marriage, saints, I went from having 1 daughter to 8 other children for a total of 9. We had a house full of folk, saints, and we even had a dog, 2 snakes, and a bird. It was some days that I would say, Lord, why, Jesus, are you doing this to me? What is wrong with my life? Because it was so difficult. Saints, sometimes when you're a new parent or newly involved in your household, newly married, you struggle with some days, right? We had some big time struggles. And at the time, I could not see how God was going to ever deliver us from that situation. But God is good, saints. Because now, this past week, we are now getting ready to begin to celebrate the graduation of 2 of our daughters. We are getting ready to sing hallelujah praises. And now that I'm getting to see, and some of you have already been here, you start to see the benefit of saying, you start saying, Lord, I see why you had me hanging in there so long, Jesus. You get to say, wow, you took that child who I had to beat with that belt and put on punishment, and you made him into this person. Isn't God good, saints? God is so good. If you've ever been with someone and you've hung in there with them long enough to see how God can turn somebody around, you just want to dance all around the place, saints. I don't know about you all, but I am excited today because in this place, in this time, we get to talk about worship. And you see, when God has brought you through from a dark and lonely hour, and then he has allowed you to see the light and be in the light and bask in the light, you get so excited that you can't wait to get to this place to worship. You see, I was running here this morning. Pastor Rick even said, Pastor Kelly, was your clock broke? You got here so early. was so excited to be here in this place where all nine of those children have been. And all those children have at one point come up here and prayed with us. And even me having had the opportunity to listen to them give their lives to Christ, saints, I am just in joy of what God is doing in my life. And so when we know where God has had us and where he brought us to, we can come and say, it's time to get our worship on. It is time to get our worship on. You see, because when Pastor Rick was here last week, and he said part of worship is just taking that moment and singing a hallelujah shout to the Lord, saying, just lifting up your voice, taking your body and saying, Lord, whatever, I just am so excited. I want to praise you. You see, the purpose of worship, saints, when we come here, we're giving ourselves to God, but then in return, God is giving us back something, amen? Something happens to us when we worship. Those words, what does worship do to us, means something is happening in our lives that changes us, that makes us from who we were and to who we're going to be. You see, there is something that worship does for all of us. And it's one answer, one word. It's called transformation. Transformation is the power of God to take someone who looks like one thing and completely change them into something else. You know, but I have to confess, saints, sometimes it's difficult. When we get to worship, all of us have had these moments when we've come to worship and we just don't feel nothing. We're just sitting there like them songs aren't being sung. We sit there like, oh, here she go again, preaching about something I really don't want to hear about. We're listening to messages. We're hearing the word spoken right in front of us. But then we leave out of this place and nothing in our lives has changed. And I wonder, saints, have we truly worshiped? Have we truly given our all, our best, and our first? Many a day, saints, sometimes we can leave this place and we know that the answer to that question is no. We have not worshiped. We showed up. We had a good time. We talked to our friends. We sang a few songs. But we have not truly offered up what is our best unto the Lord. You see, saints, read this scripture with me from Philippians 3:21. It says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You see, saints, transformation occurs through the power of God. And this scripture tells us that God is going to bring everything under God's control. You see, those things in your life that are preventing you from getting to God, remember when Sandra preached about those idols in our lives? Those things that are preventing us from getting to God and offering our true worship, this scripture tells us that God is going to bring everything under his control and transform these lowly bodies. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my body just fails me. I know that I'm not yet quite 40, but sometimes I look at this body and I say, would you act like you got some sense? Would you fit into the clothes that I would like to wear? Would you eat the food that I like to eat without gaining 10 pounds every time you eat a chocolate chip cookie? Would you have some energy to be able to walk and move about your day? I say those kind of things to my body, but my body in return says, no, I'm not doing all that. I'm going to do what I want to do. But God is saying, I'm going to take these lowly, broken bodies and transform them into be like his glorious body. You see, what we have today, saints, is not what we're going to have throughout eternity. Can you get excited about that? The things that you're experiencing today, the things that you don't necessarily like about you, won't always be there. And then those things that you do enjoy about you may still continue to be there. But God is saying, I am trying to transform you. So we're going to talk about transformation. What is this word transformation? How does it come about? And what does it look like? You see, saints, when we experience transformation, it affects every single aspect of us. It affects our character. Our character is transformed. Our bodies are transformed. We learned that in the Daniel fast. Anyone that fasts, as soon as you really truly started fasting, you saw your body change. Many of us lost weight. Somebody got their diabetes got better. Knees were healed. Things began to change in our bodies. Then our spiritual change. We are transformed spiritually and even mentally. Amen. You see, transformation happens every time we worship. The reason why many are not experiencing true change and true transformation is because you're not truly worshiping. You know how you can tell when you're not changing? Because you can leave this place. And not necessarily, it's not about me. Please trust me. I am not that fly. I don't even think I'm that good. But you can hear any of the words of God spoken by anybody and leave and not change anything in your life. You see, worship involves true transformation of all of us. So how does this look? You see, many of us think when I transform some kind of way, I'm going to leave the room and walk back in and look like a different person. It would be nice if I can walk out that door right now and come back in looking like Halle Berry or something. It would be nice. I think Terrence would appreciate it greatly. But transformation isn't going to truly change the way I look. My features will still be the same, but something about me will be different. You see, has anyone ever traveled, anyone ever been to the Grand Canyon? Do anybody want to go to the Grand Canyon? I want to go to the Grand Canyon too. People have always wondered, how did this form? How did these big, beautiful caves and mountains form? Well, saints, it is the Colorado River. And this body of water just flows over all these rocks. And it carves out what this mountainous area is supposed to be. You see, that's kind of like the Holy Spirit. Remember that water, that living water? And it just flows all through you. And when you let the water flow through you, it's going to carve out all of those rocky places that's in your life. And it's going to change you from the inside so that no longer on the outside will you be the same. When that Holy Spirit, when that living water is forming all through your body, saints, you become who you were meant to be. You see, some of us are stuck in who we used to be or who we currently are instead of focus on who God is trying to get us to be. You see, saints, when God created you, he knew exactly what he was doing. He designed you to be you and nobody else on this planet. He said, I want you to be exactly as you are, and I am creating you for a God-given purpose. And then, saints, even though we know about that purpose, some kind of way we get all twisted up in the world, and we start living for the purposes of the world instead of the purposes of God. That is why we are called here to worship, saints, because worship draws us back into our transformation. And that is why when we miss something and we miss this service or miss this Bible study, that is why the growth is stunted, because the water can't flow through you. You see, transformation takes time. Many of us get frustrated. We show up to worship and we think everything in our life is going to boop magic and it's going to be better and new. But it took millions of years for that Colorado River to carve out the Grand Canyon. And God is saying, let me take this time to carve you out. I know you're frustrated and you're ready for your life to be different, but let the water, let the Holy Spirit power work in you. You see, when we are worshiping, saints, it's about us and the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit and you. It takes two in this worship service for it to truly take effect and the impact. The Holy Spirit's presence and you. Doesn't matter how many of us are in the room. If you and the Holy Spirit are here together, that's when the transformation begins to change. You see, God is trying to get you ready. Tell your neighbor, God is getting me ready. Getting you ready. You see, when we get to heaven, heaven is going to be about eternal worship. That's all we're going to do when we get to heaven. It won't be, I got to go work at this store, or I got to go work at this factory, or I got to go take these classes. All day, you will get to worship God. And you see, I know how this body is. Anybody ever been to a good Pentecostal service? They get their worship on. They don't sit around in the pews. They running around singing songs, getting their worship on. So I'm kind of interested in seeing saints, because I know when we get to heaven, part of our worship is we're going to have to get up and move and do some shouting and some hallelujah. So we got to get our bodies ready for this. We are getting ready for a style of worship that we have yet to understand or see. And God is saying, you got to get ready for your new body. You got to get ready for your heavenly body. And this new body will be patterned after the old. That means it's going to be similar to the old. But this new body is going to be equipped and fit for heaven. You're going to be fit for heaven. Can you imagine? I mean, in heaven, there's no concrete floors you're going to be walking around. How are you going to walk around in heaven? I have no idea. But the new bodies that we have will be equipped and fit for heaven. Everything about us is going to be changed and different. But you see, saints, here lies the problem. Many of us want to change. We want transformation. But transformation is difficult. It is truly hard to change. Why is it so hard to change? Because we cannot let go. We have heard message after message after message of what we're supposed to do and how to do it. Then we leave this place and we don't do anything we're supposed to be doing. What is the problem? We struggle with letting go those idols that we hold in our lives. And many of us have a lot of idols. Can you confess today you got some idols? Good job. Every one of us should have had our hands up. But there are things in our lives, these idols that we place in front of God. For some of us, our relationship is the idol. We love this guy or we love this girl so much more than we love God. For some of us, our money is our idol. We can't do nothing without thinking about money. I was asking the question of someone, and I was asking them, what do you truly want for your life? What is the best you want for your life? And I was hoping they were going to say something good like God or church, but they said, I want to be rich. And saints, when I heard them say that, I just knew that's just not that person, because we've all said it. How many of us want to be rich? Oh, now y'all keeping your hands down. If I had all this $1 million up here in cash, all y'all be right up front getting it with me. We want to be rich. Let's just confess it. For many of us, sex is our idol. We think about it. We talk about it. We desire it. We want it all day, every day. Some of us, we want fame. We want to be out there. We want to be seen. We just dream about being on the next American Idol. We always say, if this would just happen in my life, if only just this. But you see, saints, all of those are just idols. And in our Old Testament scripture reading, we meet Jacob. And in Jacob's story, God has delivered him. And at this point in his life, God is telling him, it is time to clean up your house. Get rid of your idols. You see, before Jacob can go one step forward in his life, he has to take the time to clean up his house. Let me ask you today, saints, what is in your house that you know you need to let go of? I mean, let's dig real deep, and I know some of y'all are not going to like what I'm about to say. But some of us got some things in the closet, and I'm not talking about those Mother's Day dresses. Okay, bring the Mother's Day dresses on out. But there's some other things behind the dresses and the suits that need to come out of the closet. I mean, we got some magazines in those closets that we know we need not to be having in those closets. We got some things stuffed up under the bed. Uh-oh, some of y'all got some stuff under. We got some things buried back in the dresser. You know, I always put my stuff back in the back of the dresser. I don't think my key is going to see. We got some things hidden in our house that we know should not be in our houses. And it's not just our physical houses. It's our temples, our spiritual houses. You see, we're carrying some things inside of us that are idols inside of our bodies that we need to let go of. You see, until Jacob could clean his house, he could not get his life right with God. And do you know, saints, that once Jacob finally cleaned his house and got all the mess out, he received his blessing. God said that I am going to change your name from Jacob to Israel because of his obedience in cleaning his house. So once again, I'm going to talk to you about your houses. You see, some of us got some serious idols in our houses that are preventing us from getting right with God. We can't get our correct worship on because of the idols in our household. I want to talk to us about the idol of leadership. You see, sometimes we have placed people in our homes that God has not ordained them to be there. We are shacking up. We got the daddy over here, the mama over here, and ain't nobody married. Okay, stay with me. No one's allowed to get up and leave. But you see, saints, God places the leaders in our household, the true spiritual leaders, but then we come along and put these idols in their place, and then we wonder why our house is not in order. We got leaders over our children that God never established them to be over our children. You see, saints, and it's just not the single folks. It's many of us that are letting go of the responsibilities in our household and hoping somebody else do it. You see, when I talked about before how difficult my life was, when I had those 9 children, I was hoping somebody else would do it. But God didn't call somebody else. He called me and Terrence for such a task as this. You know, saints, who are the leaders? Who are your idols right now? I look at the story of Jacob and his wife, Rachel. You see, Jacob started cleaning up his house, but then his wife hid some stuff down deep. She had these idols that she was holding on to. She would not let go of these idols. And you know, women, next Sunday is Mother's Day. Oftentimes, we talk about the brothers, and we say how badly they're doing, and you need to get better with this, and we talk about all these things that the men are doing. But sometimes we got to take stock and look at what idols are we, the women, bringing in the house. You want to know why your daughter is sleeping with everybody under the sun? What did you teach her? You want to know why your children are doing what they need to do? What idols did you hold on to that your children learned from? You see, part of Mother's Day is going to be receiving some gifts, but part of Mother's Day should be us as mothers going to our children and saying, I'm sorry I put this idol in your life. I know you learned this from me. Let's help you get out clean from it and me get clean from it too. You see, saints, removing idols and true transformation is difficult. Tell your neighbor, it's difficult. It is difficult to give up something that you like. And we like our idols. The magazines be looking awfully good. That stuff we see on the internet, sometimes you be like, oh, you gotta stay away. Some of our idols, that money looks so good. Them new cars, them diamond rings, it all looks so good. And it's hard to let it go. That man or that woman that you're not married to sleeping in your bed, they look real good. And it's hard to let them go. And we don't want to let go because we know we're going to experience some hurts. We know we're going to experience some pains. But here's the surprise, saints. You see, when you are at a point in your life when you are down and in despair and you can't see a way out, it's difficult to be seeing over here that God has a wonderful plan in store for your life. I know when you're here and you're looking at all these idols, like, how am I going to do this? But you see, saints, all we got to do is walk one day at a time like the Apostle Paul did. He just said, I'm going to press on. I'm going to press forward to the prize in store for me. You see, God did not intend for us to be leading the lives we're currently living if we're outside of God's will. God never intended for us to be outside of God's will. And that's why when we come to worship, to be drawn back into the transforming power. So you may say some days, what does worship have to do with anything? Why do I even need to show up? We show up, saints, so that God can do the work that he has in store for us. If we don't show up, we miss our blessing. You see, you may be wondering, should I continue to live my life the way I have been? You see, many of us are questioning. We have that question on our heart. Can I just keep doing what I'm doing? But I'm going to encourage you to know that if you continue to do what you're doing, yes, God is going to still love you. God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But you are missing your blessing. You are missing the point where you will desire to run to worship because God has transformed your life so much. You see, the question is, will you continue to be the way that you are, or will you trust God to transform you into being who you were always meant to be? You see, there's this song we used to sing a long time ago at Glenville, when we used to have the pews. I think about just how God has transformed Glenville in the building. And we used to sing, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. You see, that Holy Spirit power starts on the inside, where no one can see it, no one can get to it, no one can damage it, no one can take it away from you. And it begins to work on the inside, and then it comes on onto the outside. You see, saints, is God working on you today? Can you say that Jesus is on the inside of you, working on the outside, and oh, what a change you are experiencing in your life? You know, many of us, we make that claim, but I want to give us the opportunity right now. And I don't want everybody, because I know some of you are going to get up because you're all emotional, you just involved. I want those of you who are truly wanting to worship God, that truly want to be transformed by God, to stand with me. I'm not a singer, that's why the praise singer is coming up to help me out. Because this is our thing, this is our song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. If that is your worship today, if that is your song today, rise with me and the praise team to sing Jesus on the inside, working on the outside.
Come on, let's sing it.
Yes, sir, Jesus said,
Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life.
Everybody singing out.
Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life.
Everybody say,
Jesus on the
Hallelujah, saints. Is God working in you today? Are you ready for true transformation in your life? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to enter into you today? Have you said to God, I'm ready. I don't want my life to be the same. I'm ready to start walking and striving toward the prize that you have in store for my life. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. And we know right now that you can see deep into our hearts. You can see our minds, our souls. You can see our past, our present, and our future. You know, Lord Jesus, that we desire to offer you our greatest worship. Gracious God, we pray, Lord, right now for the ones that are still present with us that are struggling, that don't have an idea of how you're going to deliver them from the darkness, how you're going to help them impact true change and transformation in their lives. We thank you for the transformation. Give them the courage to trust you. Give them the courage to know you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we glorify you. And it's in your mighty name that we pray.